The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Bob Burney Live.
Looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
Well, let me tell you a little story, all right? A quick little story. Several years ago, when I was pastoring a wonderful church over in Westerville, we were seriously considering about considering building a big family life center in addition on to the church. And there was going to be a lot of emphasis on our young people, you know, providing things for our young people and so forth. And we were in contact with some local architects about the plans for the building and so forth. But one day, this architect said, hey, I want to take you to a particular church, and they gave me the name of the church, a large evangelical Bible-believing church here in Central Ohio. Said they just redid their whole youth wing of the church, and I think you'll be impressed. I said, well, cool. All right, let's go. So I got in the car, drove over to this church, and went into the youth center. And when we got into the youth center, we went into the big assembly room where most of the youth meetings were going to occur or were occurring. I saw dozens of video games and screens. Now, again, this was, you know, 20 years ago. But video screens, dozens of them. There was very little room for, like, chairs if you wanted to have a big meeting or Bible study or whatever. It was, and the whole room was video game theme, the whole thing. And I said to the architect, I said, where's their meeting room? Because it's a pretty good church, pretty big church. I said, well, where do they meet? Oh, this is it. Well, where are all the chairs? Oh, well, they have a few chairs, but their main emphasis is, you know, getting the kids in, because kids are really into video games, and the church and the youth minister, they want to appeal to the kids and you know, get them in for the video games. And I walked out of that church and I thought, we're in serious trouble. We are in serious. And the architect said, oh, this is a big trend. It is a big trend. Now, again, that was 20 years ago. But I'll never forget that. I thought, these kids are going to be deprived of being taught solid biblical truth. Because that particular church was obsessed with getting the kids in and pleasing them and entertaining them. And video games were big then. They're even bigger now. And it was everything about, we got to get them in the door. We got to get them in the door. We got to entertain them. We got to please them. We got to please them. What do they want? What do they want? What do the kids want? I believe that attitude has brought about this result. The president of Summit Ministries, Dr. Jeff Myers, it's an organization. Well, let's see. The head of a ministry that helps Christian young people strengthen their biblical worldview is looking past the 2020 election to the future, and he says it's pretty bleak. Well, they did some research. And listen to this. The ministry leader, this is Dr. Jeff Myers of Summit Ministries. The ministry leader says their recent research finds that 69% of evangelical youth who attend church do not believe in absolute truth. They also believe that if your belief offends someone, you are probably the one who is wrong. Now, I don't know the veracity of this study, this research. I don't know how accurate it is. But sadly, it doesn't shock me. 69% of evangelical youth who attend church. These are kids who are in evangelical churches, don't believe in absolute truth, and they think that if your beliefs offend someone, you are the one who is wrong. Quote, even though they say they believe in God, the worldview they embrace is materialism. Only the material world exists. There's no God, there's no Jesus, there's no Holy Spirit, there's no heaven or hell. Even though they say they believe in God, they do not possess, they do not understand a biblical worldview. Folks, there's a delicate balance here. Joy and I were in youth work for many years and loved it. God gave us an incredibly successful youth ministry in Wichita, Kansas. Many years ago, we had one of the largest youth groups in the entire state. It was just unbelievably blessed by God. I have, you know, most of you know that for 25 years, I've been going to Moldova and speaking to teenagers in very large teen camps over in Moldova. I've spoken to teenagers all over the country. That doesn't make me an expert on anything, but I have worked a lot with young people, and I understand you cannot be dry, you cannot be dull, you cannot be boring. You have to be exciting, you have to be enthusiastic, and yes, there has to be some entertaining of the kids. You would not believe some of the wacky, crazy things Joy and I have done through the years with young people. Just nutty things. But you cannot be just concerned about getting them in the door. You've got to challenge them. You've got to teach them. Listen, here's something I've learned with young people. They love to be radical. They do. Look at the way they dress. The insanely radical things. Look at how they dye their hair and the clothes that they... Kids love to be radical. They love to be different, right? Why else would they have pink hair, purple hair, nose rings, and weird and bizarre tattoos and tongue rings? They love to be radical. That's part of being a young person. Teach them to be radical for Jesus. I'm not talking about a nose ring with a cross on it. That's not what I'm talking about. But teach them biblical truth. Ground them in doctrine, in Scripture. Don't just tell them what to believe. Tell them why to believe it. Teach them apologetics on their level in an exciting way. Teach them to love and honor the Word of God. Teach them to be absolutely radical followers of Jesus and radically in love with their Bible. 69% of evangelical youth, these are evangelicals who attend church, do not believe in absolute truth. I believe in many ways the evangelical church has failed our young people. We have put so much emphasis on pleasing them, giving them everything and anything they want in order to draw a crowd. We have failed them in not challenging them to know the Word of God. And they will respond. They will. They will respond. That survey breaks my heart. If you work with young people, and I hope you do, teach them to be radical for Jesus. Challenge them to know the Word of God. They'll accept the challenge. They will.
Talk radio that makes a difference.
Makes a difference.
This is Bob Burney Live.
All right, now, maybe I'm making too much of this. Yeah, I don't know. But as I read through this bizarre story, I knew I would come across something in this story, and sure enough, I did. I got to deal with this tastefully. I have to figure out a way to tastefully give you a very distasteful story. Okay, a flight from Raleigh, North Carolina to Detroit was a little bizarre, and the pastor of a fairly large church in North Carolina has been arrested and charged. What has he been charged with? And here's where I've got to walk lightly. He is charged with urinating on a woman in the seat next to him. Yeah. I'm not making this up. Police identified the man as Daniel Chambers. He is the lead pastor of Love Wins Ministries in Raleigh. He is also a staff member at Catch the Fire Raleigh Durham Church. And he has now been officially charged with, I think, disorderly conduct, and I don't know what all else. A police report obtained by the Winston-Salem Journal says Daniel Chambers was arrested at the Detroit Metro Airport after the flight landed on October 13th. It was a red-eye flight. It arrived around 2:45 a.m. in Detroit. According to the report, a passenger named Alicia Beverly told police she woke up on the plane around 2:45 a.m. to find a man urinating on her. Police said she alerted the flight crew. When asked what had happened, the woman told the flight crew, he peed on me. When the man was asked by the flight crew, what did you do? He reportedly said, well, I peed on her. I thought I was going to the bathroom. After the plane landed in Detroit, police boarded the plane. The woman told officers what had happened. Police said the man initially denied her accusations, telling officers, wait, I'm a pastor. That is out of my character, and I didn't do it. When police asked for proof of the woman's allegations, well, there was a lot of stinky proof on her and on the airplane seat. Oh, by the way, the pastor now is saying he is going to sue Delta Airlines for defamation of character, and I don't know what all else, even though he was arrested. According to the police and according to the airline, again, there was physical and visible proof of the woman's allegations. Now, here's where I'm headed. As I'm reading this bizarre, crazy story, I'm thinking, what in the world would cause a pastor to do something so vile, so crazy, so nutty, so unacceptable? And as I'm reading, here was my thought. There's got to be alcohol. There has got to be alcohol in the story. Now, this guy is a pastor of an evangelical church, but as all of you know, social drinking and alcohol is now almost perfectly accepted in most of evangelical circles. Not in mine. You know my stance. I'm a teetotaler, and I'm not ashamed of it, not embarrassed. I don't want anything to do with it. In fact, personally, just me, I hate booze. I do. I've just seen what it does to people. But it has become more and more accepted. So I'm reading this story and I'm thinking, it's got to be there. Well, here it is. And I quote, "The officer said in his report, he observed," I'm not going to read that. He observed evidence and, you know, I don't want to read that. The officer said, quote, "He smells of alcohol and his eyes were bloodshot." He had been sipping the suds, evidently. Had a little too much of the booze, and here is this pastor who is going to have to somehow try to live down. I mean, this is more than embarrassing. That's just disgusting. I can't imagine what he tried to tell his congregation. But reading through the story, I thought, it's got to be alcohol. And sure enough, yep. And I will leave it at that. Well, yuck. All right, folks, have a great, wonderful evening. But please remember whose you are.
Listen. Think. Discern.